people outside could hear we are now near a mental hospital because people are screaming. Their anxiety was so intense and they had very few means to calm down.
Any family who has been so unlucky to have a mad or insane among them can now see with what peace of mind they can hand over such an unhappiness to this new establishment and its skilled doctors, with a certainty for the best possible treatment and custody, and with a well-founded hope for cure and return to the goodness of life.
Those were the words that historian Frederick Torup used to describe the opening of the new St. Hans Hospital for the mentally ill in 1816. During the more than 200 years the hospital has existed, it has gone through radical changes in both size, treatment approaches, and also in society's view on psychiatric patients. It has been praised for its excellence, frowned upon, put to shame, and praised again. It has also played a significant role internationally in the development of new innovative psychiatric treatments, and it is still dedicated to finding even better treatments. I'm now on my way down to the St. Hans Hospital Museum, where we will meet with Karin Garde, who has been a chief physician here at the hospital for quite a few years.
I'm Karin Garde. I have been working here from 1974, and I became a chief physician and stopped as a physician 4 years ago. But I have, during 30 years, been the leader of this small museum, where volunteers from the staff work here so that we can have free opening time once a week.
We start our tour of the little museum in one of these so-called cells.
And this small room is an awful place, or should illustrate an awful place, a cell, which is very narrow. There is a bed which is polstered so that you do not hurt yourself when you are very upset. And there is a toilet cleansed from outside and a very solid door with an opening where you could put food in and put food out again. So this was total isolation. I think that's torture, and not meant as torture, but meant in calming a very, very upset person.
When it opened up, how were people treated for their illnesses?
They were not treated, they were calmed down by the monotony of such an old institution in a very authoritative times.
At the time the hospital was founded, the term schizophrenia didn't exist. That wasn't until about 100 years later. The inhabitants were instead referred to as mad people. One common and quite awful theory was that people became mad because they had something evil inside them, as a result of a poor lifestyle. They should therefore be disciplined and punished.
The first chief physician here, Seidelin, he was very fond of this theory, and he wore a stick when he was going his rounds. And luckily, one young former patient, he made a complaint, a very well-formulated complaint, to the authorities in Copenhagen. And Dr. Seidelin was dismissed, and his follower had a quite different view. He thought that people needed calmness and friendliness and patience and beautiful surroundings. They had much singing and entertainment, and sometimes they had balls, and they had excursions.
So they would go dancing.
Yeah, and everybody, all staff, had to dance with every patient.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So they tried to do something about monotony. But the means to treat, they were very few.
The patients would often lie in bed, but they could also spend time relaxing in bathtubs with warm water. Opium was also used, but it did unfortunately have some really bad side effects. If we now move forward to the first half of the 19th century, new and quite experimental treatments started appearing. One such treatment was the insulin shock treatment.
The theory was that a very deep sleep could improve anxiety, because many people with psychiatric diseases have severe sleeping problems.
By injecting a sufficiently large amount of insulin, it was possible to artificially put the patient in a coma. The patient could then later be woken up again by administering sugar water.
It was a dangerous method, and some people got a coma which they didn't recover from.
But did it work?
No.
But not very long after that, everything changed.
Till 1953, you could hear a mental hospital on the screams. People were screaming. And our neighbor at home, he is born and grown up here at a hospital, and he told that in 1953 he asked his mother, now they are not screaming any longer at the closed department. And mother, who was a doctor's secretary, told there have come some really good drug, Prozyl, chlorpromazine. People could concentrate, could regain abilities, and could have a better social life, because their extreme psychotic symptoms didn't have this influence any longer. So during these years, the number of patients diminished in the good way, because they came to something better.
The rest of our tour of the Little Museum took us through a very impressive collection of artwork created by the patients.
Creative work doesn't cure, but when you are creative, you are very intense, very concentrated, and that's good for everybody. And you have to know that all artists are not mad, and all mad people are not artists.
And Karen also taught me what the difference is between a chief physician and God.
God knows that he is not a chief physician.
And with those words, it was time to head for our next stop.
Thanks a lot for showing us around in here. And also, I hope that you have a little bit more time, because I think we should take a stroll in that nice weather outside and go see a project that I know that you have been working on, another way to improve the lives of people with different psychiatric diseases. I hope you're up for that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Good.
But before we see the projects that Karen is working on, we move on to one of the other beautiful buildings at the St. Hans Hospital.
My name is Thomas Werwer. I'm the director of Institute of Biological Psychiatry. The building we're in used to be the old slaughterhouse. St. Hans Hospital at the time used to be a state in a state, and so it also had its own slaughterhouse and livestock and bakery and you name it. The hospital turned 200 years a couple of years ago. At the same year, this institute, research institute, turned 100 years.
In the early years, researchers were, among other things, trying to identify biomarkers or toxins in the patient's urine, toxins that might be the cause of mental illness. In the 50s, they were also performing drug trials of the new antipsychotics.
The introduction of antipsychotics had a massive effect on treatment. Actually, a two-step expansion of St. Hans Hospital at the time was kind of closed down within a year because of the introduction of this.
The new antipsychotics quickly became a new research focus.
I think what really got them on the world map was late 50s, early 60s, with the discoveries of the first antipsychotic. That prompted a lot of studies in dopamine, both the fact that dopamine can induce psychosis, but also that inhibition of the dopaminergic system in the brain seems to inhibit psychosis. And that led to, I think, possibly more than 20 years of dopamine research here, initiated by Randrup and Munkwell, one the principal physician at the hospital and the other the director of the laboratory. So it's always been kind of a pair of the two. And one of the extremely known researchers that came here was Ivan Carlson, who later got the Nobel Prize exactly for work in the dopaminergic area.
The researchers were also very dedicated to understanding the side effects of the new drugs, in the hope that the drugs could be improved.
It's said, I wasn't part of it, but said that it's not a single antipsychotic sold today that has not been tested for their side effects at St. Hans Hospital.
Today, the research focus of St. Hans has shifted yet again.
Around the turn of the century, the millennium, we changed completely research strategy when I came here, and we started doing genomics of mental disorders, primarily, or at least initially, in schizophrenia. And with the hallmark discoveries of genetic variants in the human genome that predisposed for schizophrenia.
These new genetic discoveries in schizophrenic patients formed the basis for collaborations between St. Hans and a number of other research institutions, focused on creating better treatments, by for instance creating better research models for schizophrenia.
So it's modeling something that happens in humans, and it's modeling it not because we give amphetamine, which is an artificial way of introducing psychosis, but because we manipulate the genome of the animal to become similar to what we observe in humans that suffers from the disorder.
While the researchers are working in their labs to create better treatments, Chief Physician Karin Garde had moved to work to two big greenhouses in a quiet and beautiful green area of the St. Hans Hospital.
This is the garden therapy, which was here during the good years at St. Hans, where we had workshops for everybody. After this closing, they say it's due to economic reasons. They have closed all the workshops at the hospital, so people who are here have nothing to do. And then I got so desperate, so I thought together with the leaders of this place that we should reopen the garden therapy.
Today, the garden therapy covers two large greenhouses with vegetables and spices, and a small and very popular cafe, and both a small chicken house and a beehive. Based on Karin's many years in psychiatry, she is quite anxious about the changes she sees in psychiatric treatment, which is moving towards more outpatient clinics. These are clinics where patients can come for treatment, but without staying there overnight.
That's good for people who can manage this, but the really extremely ill people cannot, because they are so busy with their way of thinking and cannot do the ordinary things which we think are very ordinary. And they become homeless, they become criminal, they become drug abusers. All these figures are rising and rising when you do such a stupid thing as saying categorically psychiatry is an outpatient business. I would hope that people could see that some are victims in this way of thinking.
Is there something specific that you learn from having a job like you have, something you learn about humans?
How important it is to keep up dignity, to let people have their mostly their own life when it is responsible to do so, and really get respect for how different people are. Patients are very different in psychiatry, I think even more than in other specialties.
That patients are different is also very clear to Thomas.
Schizophrenia is not a single thing, it's many things. And some may benefit from one drug, some may benefit from another. Making sure that the right pill ends up in the right mouth is a challenge of prediction. And it could be a challenge of genomic prediction, and that's what we're working on. Each person with schizophrenia are different. So how do we treat the individual optimally?